So I want to start today by saying thanks. Thanks to you all. Today we have the last message in our You Asked For It message series, where we're answering your questions about life and faith and Scripture. So thank you for sharing your questions, because if you didn't share any questions, this series would not have been very good. So I appreciate that. Thank you. I really appreciate it. Thank you for asking those questions that maybe just interest you. We had a few of those. Thank you for asking those questions that concern you, and even questions that trouble you. And today's question is more probably along the lines of one of those. Let me say also that if you did submit a question, because we had more than we could do on Sunday mornings, if you submitted a question and we haven't answered it yet in church, you can go and check out our church Facebook page. We've been posting some videos where I've been doing shorter answers to some of those questions. And if it hasn't been answered there yet, it will be, I promise. We'll get through all of them, but we're still working through them. I also want to say, if you have more questions that you ever think of, I would love to answer any question you have. And let those answers be a blessing to you and to others. So let me know if there's anything you ever want to ask. I am happy to do that. So as we wrap up this message series, it's all about answering your questions. In a way, we have saved the best for last. Or maybe we can say we've saved the most challenging for last. I knew right away when I saw this question on the little slips of paper we had you write them on, I wanted to address this in worship with our big group of people, because here is today's question. Why do bad things happen to good people? It's a simple question, and it's a really hard one. This question is not a new question, and that's part of why I wanted to answer it. People have been asking this question for thousands of years. Did you know that the biblical book of Job, for example, it dates to sometime around 2000 BC, so it's around 4,000 years old by now. The biblical book of Job is all about the suffering of a righteous man, a good person who has lots of bad stuff happen to him. It's one of the oldest ancient texts we have, and it's the earliest ancient work, at least that I know of, the earliest ancient work that we have of today that asks this question. Why do bad things happen to good people? And part of the difficulty that we have with this question, why do bad things happen to good people? Part of the difficulty with this question is the fact that it's never just academic for us, right? It's never just something that we can sit and kind of calmly discuss in a classroom or over a cup of coffee or a drink or something like that. It's never just academic. When we ask why do bad things happen to good people, we ask that because maybe we see a child who's stuck in a hospital bed with a congenital illness or injury. That question presses itself into our lives. Or when we see a disaster that afflicts a whole city and we see good people suffering along with people who we think, well, maybe they deserve it, that question arises. That question follows us around. When we think of a peaceful village and its people persecuted and scattered by soldiers, that question whispers to us at night when we're trying to go to sleep, why do bad things happen to good people? Whenever the innocent suffer, whenever a people of good intent are denied their life or their health, whenever the wicked seem to get away with their crimes, some situations just press on our hearts and we ask, why? Why? This question demands our attention and it doesn't let us go until it is satisfied. And of course, even when we personally feel like we're doing just fine, there may be some fear behind this question as well. Most of us like to think that the world works more or less like we want it to work. Most of us like to think that good people should receive good things and that wicked people should receive the just punishment for their crimes. And we like to think that we're good people. And we like to think that good things will happen to us. But if bad things happen to good people, if that's true, then we're maybe worried that bad things will happen to us too. And not just small bad things like a flat tire on the side of the road. We're worried about big bad things, cancer, severe illness or injury, or other life-changing events. And we think if those things can happen to us, no matter what we live like, that's a little scary. So why do bad things happen to good people? It's a simple question without a simple answer. Because when we think about this, it doesn't seem like it should be so. It doesn't seem to us that this should happen. If we believe that God is all-powerful, in other words, if we believe that God has the power to do away with all harm and evil. God has the power to do anything, including protecting us from all harm and evil. And if we believe that God himself is good and just, then it doesn't seem to us logically like good bad things should happen to good people. And yet they do. To put it another way, if God is good and if God is all-powerful, then why do bad things happen at all, we can ask. And even though people have been asking this question for thousands of years, we still aren't satisfied with the answers that we can come up with. So why do bad things happen to good people? Well, today we're going to do two things. First, we're going to look at three answers that people try to answer, three answers people try to give this question. And we're going to see that each of these answers is unsatisfying in its own way. And then we're going to see, well, what is a biblical response? How are we to respond when we see bad things happening to good people, or bad things happening to us, even? So, first, some people try to answer this question by saying that, well, perhaps God just can't prevent every bad thing from happening. Some people say that. Have you ever heard the name Harold Kushner? Anyone? Or I can call him Rabbi Harold Kushner. He was born in 1935. He's now 82 years old. Like I said, he's a rabbi. He's an author as well. And in 1963, Harold Kushner had a son whom he named Aaron. And it became apparent that Aaron suffered from a congenital disease, a disease so rare that only around 1 in 4 million people have it. People estimate that maybe there are 250 people in the world today that have this disease. It's called progeria. And people who suffer from progeria tend to experience all the signs and symptoms of aging, but at a vastly accelerated rate. So that by the time they're 10 years, 12 years, 14 or 16 years old, their bodies feel like they're 70, 80, 90, even as other things tend to develop normally. And so they have all these same signs and symptoms of aging, arthritis, heart disease, stroke, all these sort of things. And sadly, progeria sufferers usually do not live out their teenage years. Aaron Kushner died in 1977 at the age of 14. Well, following his son's death, Harold Kushner, his father, he wrote a small book, which was a bestseller for several months, and it's titled When Bad Things Happen to Good People. And he tackles this question head on. And ultimately, Harold Kushner, he wants to give comfort to people who suffer. And so he concludes that God does not abandon us to suffer on our own. He says, God is still with you. God is still present. But he said, it must be that God simply can't prevent every bad thing from happening. And Kushner, he wants to give people comfort in suffering. But ultimately, his solution, it raises more concerns than it answers. Because his answer to the problem of why bad things happen to good people is to say that God is just not all-powerful. And if that's true, then we're in trouble. If God can't overcome every bad thing in the world, then our hope and our trust in him is really worthless. Worthless, because that's exactly what God has promised he's going to do for us on the last day, is he'll come back and he'll take away all bad things. He'll take away all suffering and pain and illness and injury and sin. That's what he has promised. He'll make all things new. He'll heal and restore us fully, and he'll put an end to all bad things. And so if we want to have any hope at all in this world, we can't just have a buddy in heaven. We have to have a God who can do all things. And indeed, Scripture says he can. The prophet Jeremiah says, Sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. That's what he says. Psalm 135 confesses, I know that the Lord is great, that our Lord is greater than all gods. The Lord does whatever pleases him, anything he wants, whatever pleases him in the heavens and the earth and the seas and all their depths. And so this answer to say that God's simply able, to say that God simply isn't able to protect us from bad things, that won't work for us. So let's try again. Why do bad things happen to good people? Well, there's another answer that people sometimes try to give, and you may have heard this before. You may have said it before. Maybe you've heard this when you fell sick or when you were injured somehow, when you experienced a major loss. Some of us have been in that situation before. And so whatever happened, you can imagine yourself there with your thoughts and your feelings in a pretty dark place, and then a well-meaning friend comes along, and your friend knows what's happened, and they just want to make you happy. They want to cheer you up. They're determined. And so then they make a big mistake, and they open their mouths, and they say, well, you know what? God must have a reason for doing this. God must be doing something good in your life. And then they make it worse, and they say something like, you know what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And then they make it even worse, and they say something like, well, you just need to figure out what God's telling you to do right now, what God wants you to do as a response to this situation. Have you ever been there? Have people said these things to you? You know, it's not too helpful. And maybe you're thinking, oh, I've said those things myself, and there's forgiveness. Don't worry. You may have said that even yourself. And you know that just on an emotional level, those answers are totally unsatisfying. But what we're saying when we say that, as Christians, we're often kind of bad about this. When you're talking to someone who is struggling through something very difficult, something bad is happening to them, what you're really saying, if you tell them that God is maybe doing a work to make them stronger through suffering, if you tell someone that God is using their pain to do something better than he might accomplish otherwise, really what you're doing is you're telling that person who is suffering, you're saying that this bad thing that's happening to you, you're saying it's not really bad. It's not really bad because God has a plan. It's not really bad because there's some secret plan that God has to make everything better than it would be otherwise. Do you understand what I'm saying? When we go to someone who is hurting and we tell them not to worry because God is just using this to make them stronger, we're really telling that person that their suffering is a good thing, that this is exactly what God wants for your life because you're getting some perseverance out of the bargain or some strength you didn't know you had or something like that. When we talk to someone who's hurting and we tell them that God must be building up your faith through a trial, we're trying to say that pain is a good thing because you get this or that or the other thing out of it. And so some people try to answer the question, why do bad things happen to good people? Some people try to answer that question by saying basically that, well, bad things aren't really bad. And we know that's not true. We have a saying, when you have storm clouds in your life, look for the silver lining. That's not bad advice, right? In bad situations, look for the good instead of focusing on the bad. That's not bad advice. But some people try to look only at the silver lining and just ignore the cloud. And that's not helpful. And this isn't necessarily even something that we do on purpose, right? If you've ever been in a situation of real suffering, I think sometimes we just don't know how to deal with pain and suffering in our lives, or especially in the lives of those whom we love. And so our reflex is often just to pretend that things aren't that bad and protect ourselves that way. The problem with trying to pretend that things aren't that bad, of course, is that sometimes things really are that bad. And sometimes bad things are really bad. And if you've ever suffered, and I know that you have, you understand that you can only say things aren't that bad when you're not the one who's suffering. When I was trying to think of a piece of scripture to demonstrate this, I thought of this verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is Paul talking about the last day when Jesus comes back, when he makes all things new, and there's the resurrection of the dead, when Jesus defeats death. And Paul says on that day, the last enemy to be destroyed is death. And when Paul says that, well, he confirms, yes, death is a bad thing. It's your enemy. And he doesn't say it right there, but elsewhere around that passage, other things too, pain, weakness, sorrow, dishonor, things like that in our lives and our bodies, that'll be gone too. So those things are bad. Excuse me. Those things are, in fact, bad too. And so Paul says, yes, death is a bad thing. These other things are bad. They're our enemies. And he also says that one day Jesus will destroy that bad thing along with all the other bad things in our lives. And so some people try to answer the question, why do bad things happen to good people, by saying that bad things aren't really bad. But as Christians, we can't agree with that either. And there's one more answer that people try to give to this question, why do bad things happen to good people? And usually you don't find Christians giving this answer. Usually you don't, because this third possible answer that people give to the question of why bad things happen to good people is to say that, well, maybe God isn't really good after all. There's one character in Scripture who gives this answer all the time. You know who it is? It's Satan. Someone said it. Great. Back in Genesis chapter 3, when Satan was tempting Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, God had told Adam and Eve, if you eat from the tree of knowledge and good and evil, you'll die, so don't do it. God said that to protect them. God did it for their own good. But Satan says, if you disobey God, you will not certainly die. This is why God said that. He said God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. So in other words, Satan said, God's not really saying this for your own good. God is saying this to somehow keep his power over you, to keep you in the dark, right? This is Satan's answer. Well, God's not really good, so disobey him. The book of Job that we mentioned a moment ago. Satan's goal in the book of Job was to make Job curse God. Satan's goal was to make Job believe that God was not truly good and to say it. In the Gospels, when Satan tempted Jesus himself as Jesus began his ministry, Satan attempted to make Jesus test God's goodness. Satan told Jesus to test God's goodness by jumping off a high tower and seeing whether God would protect him, and Jesus didn't do it. Jesus wouldn't test God in that way. And so this is a third way that some people try to answer the question of why bad things happen to good people. Some people just say that God must not be good. And I don't really expect that anyone here takes this approach, but it's important to know that some people do answer this question in that way. But that's not something we would say. If you do think that, then let's talk. I would love to talk to you about that. So, why do bad things happen to good people? Well, we can't answer the question by saying God is not good. We can't answer the question by saying that bad things aren't really bad. And we can't answer that question by just saying God isn't able to protect us. We can't say that God's not powerful enough. So how should we as Christians answer this question? Well, we look at Jesus. Jesus is God's own son who came to earth. And if you want to talk about bad things happening to good people, here is your poster child. Here is the best example you could think of. Because Jesus is the only man who ever lived a truly, perfectly good life. The only man who never sinned. The only man who totally loved his God. The only man who totally loved his neighbors, the people around him. Jesus, that's him. He's good. Jesus was better than me. Jesus is better than you. And according to his own goodness, Jesus should have lived a life full of blessing. Lots of good things, because that's what he deserved. But what did Jesus get was suffering, was persecution, was torture and death on a cross. Jesus didn't get the good things that he deserved. Jesus got all the bad things that we deserve. So Jesus took our sins and the consequences of our sins, and Jesus died on the cross in our place so that we don't have to suffer all those things. And then Jesus rose again from the dead so that we can look forward to a day when we'll live in a world without all those bad things that make us ask why. And so this is what we have as Christians. When we see bad things happening to good people, you know, we can't actually explain that in a way that's going to make philosophers happy. Because we have to say the bad things are really bad. And we have to say that because our world and our lives just don't make sense if you're going to say that's not true. And we have to say that God is good and God is powerful because that's the God who Jesus our Savior testifies to. But when we're hurting, or when we see our world or our community or our families hurting, what we can do is we can look at Jesus. We can look at God's own Son who willingly came to earth and entered into this world of suffering even though he didn't have to. And he suffered himself even though he didn't have to. And Jesus did that for you and for me to accomplish our salvation and give us the sure hope that one day God will act in a mighty way to rescue us all, to heal his hurting world totally, and to finally get rid of all the bad things that make us ask why. Our scripture reading for today, you might have been wondering when I'd get to it, Psalm 142. I chose this scripture reading today because it confesses the reality of how we respond to the bad things in our lives. This psalm was written by David before he was a king. This was when David was trapped in a cave. He was a wanted man. He was hunted by everyone. The whole world was against him. And what David did was he prayed. He prayed. And David said, Lord, I depend on you. Lord, you watch over me. You guide my paths, and yet I still suffer. He's confessing the reality of his situation. I look and there's nobody here to rescue me. There is no safety here. Nobody cares for me. And this is David's prayer at the lowest part of his life. This could be Jesus' prayer on the cross. But his prayer doesn't end there. Even in the midst of all this suffering, David doesn't give up hope. There's this turning point in verse 5 after David confesses everything that's bad, everything that is going wrong. David says, you are my refuge, Lord, my portion in the land of the living. David trusts in God's promise that rescue and healing is coming. And he calls out to the Lord to come quickly to save him. And that is how we respond when bad things happen to good people. We don't understand why God allows it, but we know that he has come to save us through his son, Jesus Christ. We know that he has promised to rescue us from all of our suffering, and so we can trust in our Lord who has gone before us. As Christians, we can deal with pain and suffering. We are actually better equipped to deal with this than others, because our Savior lets us acknowledge the world as it is, with all its brokenness and bad things, and yet we still have hope, because we know that our God is good, and he is mighty to save us. And as we bear the trials and the suffering and bad things of this life, we can say along with David, Lord, you are my refuge, you are my portion. Rescue me, set me free, that I may praise your name. Amen.